Hello and welcome. We are just connecting all of our devices. Make sure that we are live everywhere. Here we are. Welcome. Welcome to Amplify with Purpose, the podcast where we explore what it takes to live well and lead with purpose. We discuss everything from nuanced business strategies to transformative leadership and personal development. In every episode, you'll find heartfelt discussions and practical tips designed to help you live your best life. My mission is to help you live with purpose and amplify your impact. As always, there will be lots of conversations. Sometimes it will give you some personal experience, sometimes a little bit of inspiration, but you will always walk away with practical tips. Today will be no different, and I have the absolute pleasure of welcoming back one of my favorite guests, Dr. Janine Dukabu. Dr. Janine is the Managing Director of the JDC Group of Companies, and she's also the author of Intentional. And it is finished. Dr. Janine, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Odette. Love it here and very excited to add value today.
So today we are going to talk about the topic of change. Now, did you know that businesses that embrace change and invest in continuous innovation are 2.7 times more likely to outperform their peers in revenue growth? Now, I'm sure you're saying, well, that's a very specific number. It is, and it's based on a study by McKinsey and Company that found that not only adapt more quickly to market shifts, but they also create a culture of resilience and innovation. And those two things really do drive long-term success. So, Dr. Janine, what do you believe? Why do you believe the ability to be adaptable and change is critical in today's business environment?
So, Ded, I think we all know by now that the only constant thing is change. So, adaptability allows us as businesses to obviously stay competitive. We have to meet customer demands. If we're not going to adapt it and if we're not going to change, we won't be able to meet the customer demands. And then obviously, we have to do it so that we can navigate the uncertainties that we are all facing. The business world is a big ecosystem, and it's constantly evolving, and it's constantly being driven by the rapid technological advancements, especially in the last year and a half. And that brings with it a lot of changing dynamics and market dynamics that is always changing. So I would also say is with the emergence of AI, automation and Industry 4.0 technologies, businesses have no choice but to be able to act quickly and then pivot from the new opportunities so that they can, at the end of the day, mitigate the challenges because it is difficult. Change doesn't come easy. It's constant, but it's not always easy.
Absolutely. One of our regular guests on the show, Christo, always says, change is fun when it's done. And this is no different. So, Dr. Janine, what are some of the key signs that businesses need to adapt their strategies? I mean, are there warning signs we should be looking out for?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. And if you look at the obvious things is you will have a decline in your market share or your sales or your profitability of your business. I think we should look out for things like negative customer feedback or declining customer satisfaction. You're not meeting the needs as well as what you used to. In other words, there's something missing. So look out for the things that are missing. Look out for your sales that's gone down, your profitability that's gone down. And I would also say is look out on the horizon for new competitors and disruptive technologies. So I would keep an eye on those things because if you're not going to look at what is your competitors doing, new competitors, because they're using disruptive technologies, you might very, very quickly fall behind. And obviously, we have a couple of examples of that. And then I would also look inwards, because I always do that, is to check your staff, check your team. Do you have lack of engagement or maybe a high turnover rate with your employees? You know, you're always employing, hiring, firing. That's not always a great thing. That would be a sign for me as well. But Odette, I want to actually turn the question around. I mean, you are the leader in the customer experience industry. So what would you say is some of the businesses and things that, that would be key for them? It's like, okay, I need to make a change.
Well, definitely the warning signs that you've mentioned. But I think one of the quickest ways to know that there's a change necessary is if there's just lots of noise in the system. So I always say business needs to be boring. It sucks because people like me and you, we like exciting things and we like the next big thing. But the truth is, a good business is a stable business, and a stable business is a boring business where you just know things are happening and everything ticks over and it happens as expected. The minute things don't happen as expected, there's noise in the system. Your customers are complaining, your team is leaving, they're grumbling, or they silently quit, which is also another big issue that we need to be aware of. And as soon as you become aware of these signs, you should be looking at what needs to change. I wouldn't wait too long. It's kind of like, when should you fire someone the first time that you think about it? It's the same with change. When should you be implementing change, looking for something? The minute you notice or you think about the fact that there might be a change necessary is the minute when you should do that. The problem is, if you wait too long, it becomes too difficult to change things. If you think about the big businesses, many of the massive corporates, the big banks, can't change now, or when they do, the change effect only happens 10 years from now because they're so big and they've waited so long. And that's why agility, which Christo spoke about yesterday, is so important. We've got to be able to think on our feet. We have to be nimble. And where possible, we have to be proactive. Because a reactive change means something has already gone wrong. You've already lost a customer. You've already lost your best employee. You've already lost market share. Proactive change looks at the environment and says, what are the things I'm anticipating might go wrong or could change? It doesn't always have to go wrong. And how am I going to respond, not react, to this thing that's happened? From a customer perspective, you will hear your customers say things like, this isn't working, or I'm frustrated with, or they just raise their voice just a little bit. That tells you there's pain in the system. And whenever there's pain in the system, we have to turn around and address those. When we do, we are able to nurture innovative cultures within our organizations, and we nurture long-term relationships with our customers. And it doesn't matter what happens. AI could come tomorrow and take over the world. We could have iRobot walking around. But if you've got a customer that advocates for you, that's your brand evangelist, that customer will stay with you because you've listened to them and because you've built a meaningful, deep connection with them. That's when you maintain competitive advantage. That's when you're the obvious choice. And then it doesn't matter that there's new AI or new technologies, because your customers will be lenient towards you. So rather than seeing change as a threat, I think change is something we should see as an opportunity. And it's something that you need to be scanning out for all the time. I love creating systems, but you can't really create a system around this. You need to keep your eyes open and your ears to the ground. So, Dr. J, what are some of the... Sorry, yes.
No, I just wanted to say, I love what you say, because it, with the technology that we've got today, one thing I always teach is to create a predictable sales system. And with the systems and with the technology we've got now more than ever, we are able to create things like that that will help us to stay in front, to stay in top of our mind of our customers, but also ahead of the competition. So with predictable sales systems, with good customer service and innovative ideas going around within the company, I mean, we can just take that opportunity, like you say, and make the most of it. There is good in change. I mean, for me now, if things are not changing, I get worried. You know, I need that change.
Yes. We become change junkies.
Yeah. It's true.
Dr. J, can you think of organizations that have successfully maintained adaptability to change and has proven to thrive as a result?
I think let's speak about Netflix as an example. I would say that's the one that most of us will know. If you think about Netflix, they were originally a DVD rental service, and they recognized that potential or that opportunity that we just spoke about of streaming technology. Therefore, what they did is they shifted their business model to focus on online streaming instead of just the rental service. And by doing that, they created original content as well, and they used the data analytics that we also spoke about yesterday, is using data analytics and make decisions based on that. So Netflix did exactly that. They used their data, they understood their viewers and what they like and don't like, and then they adapted their strategy and business model, and they changed the whole landscape of streaming, and now they are literally the global leader in entertainment. We spoke yesterday about disrupting as well, and they literally disrupted the traditional cable and broadcast television industry, you know. So they did really well with that. And if I can think about another one, or mention another one that's more technical, is Adobe. So if you're a graphic designer, you ever worked with any of the graphic design programs, you would know how it's still expensive, but how expensive it was because every year you had to buy the license to keep up to date. So then what they did is they changed from software licenses to subscription-based models, which in our case works really well because now you pay a monthly fee, but the advantage to that is that you always have the newest features, newest updates, and it obviously reduces piracy from their side. But from our side, we're always up to date. We've always got the newest technology. And now what I like is you can see most of these companies are adapting to change, and they're making AI part of the project. There's one or two other programs that I use. I think for video editing, I use Camtasia, and Camtasia is doing the same thing. You have a subscription-based model, and you always have, you just update, 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 and then you update it to the latest technology, which is really phenomenal. And, you know, change has brought us there.
Absolutely. And I think the important thing that you've mentioned that each one of these companies exhibit is thinking about the customer experience. Now, I know people might get a little bit sick of me saying that, but the reality is, you mentioned that the experience you had when Adobe had licenses was a clunky one. It was an expensive one. It was a rough one because you always had to wonder, am I getting the right stuff? If your license renewed later in the year and they released the newest tech in the beginning of the year, you'd have to wait until the renewal to get the new. And they've thought about what does that experience feel like for customers. And instead of saying, well, it just is what it is, they've chosen to take on a different approach, which creates two things. It creates an excellent experience for you as the user, but it also creates business stability for them, because subscription models means continuous revenue streams. Now, if you're in business, if you've been in business for any amount of time, you'll know that cash flow is one of the biggest issues that every single business will face at some point. Not so when you have a subscription-based model, because monthly recurring revenue comes in. There is stability in that. Yes, people could leave and they could cancel, but you've got stability. There's some predictability, which again brings us to a boring business is a great business. Dr. Yanin, how can businesses balance the need for stability and the need for adaptability?
Well, I would say the first thing that we need to do is we need to build strong management systems, because when we build strong management systems, it will ensure that we have operational efficiency. You know, the first book that comes to mind is Good to Great, and it teaches us a lot about this, that if we build strong management systems, it will ensure operational efficiency. And when we set clear long-term goals, we set clear long-term goals, but we have to be flexible in the strategies. You know, something that Krista also said that I can, and he said it for many years, is the goal shouldn't change, just maybe the way you get there, or the goal shouldn't change, just maybe the time frame that you had in mind from the beginning is probably going to change. So setting clear goals will help us, but we have to be flexible in the strategies. And then we have to maintain our core values and principles. No matter what change comes, there are still things that have to remain constant and have to remain the same. And if we maintain our core values and our principles, that will be the guide for decision-making during change. So core values and principle have to remain the same because that would be our decision-making mechanism we're going to use. Yes, set those clear long-term goals, but be flexible with your strategies because that will change. And then build a strong management system so that you can have operational efficiency, or like you are saying, a boring business. That's what the point is of a strong management system.
Absolutely. And it also creates, so when we have strong management systems, we create a safe space for our employees to operate in. So they know what the parameters are, they know what the guidelines are, and they give customers peace of mind that this business isn't going anywhere. This business is staying. And if you are providing a certain type of value, that value will continue to be delivered. It doesn't matter what happens. So Dr. Yanine, we've spoken a little bit about technology and about apps and stuff, but what role does technology play in helping businesses stay adaptable?
I think, well, the answer major be enough, because major is the answer. You know, we have to provide real-time data and analytics so that we can make informed decisions. If I just think about social media, if I think about marketing, which is one of the things I love, is you have to use your data and your analytics to make informed decisions based on the needs of your customer, not on the business needs, the needs of the customer and what they are demanding from you. I think automation, I keep saying this, automation and community is the future. And when we automate our routine tasks through technology, it will free up human resources for strategic thinking. So when the mundane tasks get taken over by automation, then it frees up resources for us business owners and the employees to become creative in their thinking, to become strategic in their thinking, and then make use of the technology that we have. You know, one thing we've already seen a lot of it is the communication and collaboration that is changing through digital platforms. It was seen as unprofessional to speak over WhatsApp, I would say a couple of years ago, a year or so ago. But now most communication has changed over to WhatsApp, DMs, and on digital platforms. It's not seen as unprofessional. It's just enhancing the communication and collaboration. And that's also because of technology. And one thing that we strive for and we work with a lot is remote working, because technology now allows us to set up remote working stations, to have flexible working environments. And that, again, being an entrepreneur, that brings creativity, and that's going to help us with creativity. And then maybe I can just mention a last one is with the technology, it will support continuous innovation because we must always get better. So continuous innovation through the advancements in technology like AI and IoT, or what we call Internet of Things. Technology helps for all those things.
Absolutely. I think one of the important points that we need to understand is it's not automation for the sake of it, and it's not so much about what was frowned upon back then versus now. I think the important shift that's taken place is that businesses are meeting the customers where they're at, and that will continue to shift. The customer experience is predicted and determined by you, but also companies like Disney, Amazon, Ding Dong. I mean, we all love Amazon because it's click, click, ding dong, especially here in Australia. But the reality is, all of our customers are seeing our services and our businesses through the lens of what other businesses are doing. Now, I don't mean to say that you have to look at what your competitors are doing and then try and replicate them, but you do have to understand how that impacts them and how that filters their expectations. Because when you are running a business that uses automation, that uses data to predict your customers' requirements or desires, then you are able to say, well, if we are selling this product, this is the need that we fill. When we understand the need that we fill or the role that we play, we are able to innovate and deliver something that they didn't even know they needed, but they will need, because we've looked at them and understood them and said, now that I understand who you are and what you do, this is how I'm going to innovate this product or this service. And sometimes it's creating something completely new, which is very rare. Most of the time, it's taking something and going, actually, this was clunky, this didn't work, and you are now going to five people. Let me bring it all together and make the process easy for you. And I honestly believe when us as business owners decide to make our customers' lives easier, innovation, all of those things flow. But you can't do that if you don't automate the clunky, boring kind of things.
That's true. So, Odette, and also from a business point of view, how would you say that businesses can now measure their adaptability and the impact on their performance?
I love measurement, for those of you who aren't sure. I love measuring things because numbers don't lie. People do, but numbers don't lie. And I know that sounds super harsh, but the reality is we need to look at our numbers. And for those business owners who are afraid of looking at their numbers or don't understand their numbers, start with your accounting, find a really good accountant, make sure that your accountant explains your numbers to you. Don't just send it off and go, it's your problem, please fix it, submit my taxes. Make sure that you understand your numbers. When you understand your numbers, you also have to listen to your employees and your customers. So customer feedback, employee feedback is so important. You have to ask the question and be open to hear what they have to say. Now, if you've asked for feedback, you have to do something with that feedback. If you don't do anything with the feedback, your customers won't tell you again. Also, don't be flippant about it, because when someone gives you feedback that might be a little bit negative or might not feel too good to receive because you're doing something wrong, it's gold. It's people telling you that they care enough about your business to tell you what's not working. So feedback, whether it's from your team or from your customers, is always important. I would always listen to that. It doesn't mean that you're going to change everything, but you have to keep your eye on it. And then from a customer perspective, you have to think about which score you're going to use to determine customer satisfaction. Now, there are multiple types of scores out there. There's customer loyalty metrics. There's customer churn. You could use NPS. NPS is debated in the customer community because of the way it's done. And if it's not done right, you're kind of doing yourself justice. But think about what you're using to determine whether or not your customers are loyal. For me, it's normally customer lifetime value. How long is a customer going to stay with you? How much money do they spend with you? And it's not that they're a dollar sign, but it's an indication of how much they trust you to bring their wallet back to you and spend with you rather than with someone else. When it comes to innovation, you want to think about what's your rate of innovation. And if the rate of change is every week there's a new implementation of something in the tech space and you are in a consumer space, then probably you don't want to be innovating every week. But you do want to keep an eye on things that may impact your business and make the changes based on that. I also want to add that you shouldn't be changing for the sake of changing. You have to have a purpose in mind. And when you make changes, it always has to be from a customer's perspective. How does this improve the life of my customer? How does this improve the life of my employees? If you're doing change because it's going to make your life easier but makes it harder for them, you will fail.
Yeah.
We all understand financial indicators, so know your numbers. What's your profit ratio? Ooh, now we're talking numbers. What's your profit ratio? Do you know? What's your break-even point? If you don't know, find out what it is and start looking at the numbers. If your numbers are trending down consistently over an 18-month period, there's definitely a problem. Market responsiveness, your customers will let you know very quickly if something's not working. I always say people tell you who they are. You just need to listen. And it's the same with your customers. Your customers are telling you what they want. You just need to listen. And if you're not listening, you're going to miss it and someone else is going to eat your breakfast. That's just the reality. Change management for your team. If you do decide to make a change, you have to decide upfront what does success look like and how you will measure success. Don't just say we're going to implement the new Microsoft Office package. Why are you doing it? Are you just doing it because it's the new thing? Or does it provide you with some efficiency? Does it provide you with some form of optimization? And of course, for the bigger organizations, I would absolutely recommend competitive benchmarking, because competitive benchmarking tells you where you are in relation to your competitors. Again, it's not about seeing what they're doing to copy it. It's about seeing where they are really, really doing well, where they are falling short, and understanding your space in the market. It's never about copying, because I honestly believe there's more than enough business out there for all of us. Mm-hmm. We can all fit in and we all play a role. We just need to understand what role we're playing.
And there's no uniqueness or unique selling proposition when you copy.
No. None.
So how are you going to stand out if you're just doing what everyone else is doing? That's why innovation goes so well with change and agility. You know, be able to innovate, do your own thing, stand out, and, you know, be quick to change, because with innovation comes a lot of change and adaptability.
Yes. And there's something you've just said. It's not about being hasty, it's about being quick. There's a difference. Hasty is my competitors have implemented this click, click, ding, dong, I better implement it. And you have no idea how to do it, so you just fumble it in and you sticky tape the thing together and done. Now we also have click, click, ding, dong. That's hasty.
That's just the tick box.
Exactly. Quick is saying we need to improve the efficiency of this process from purchase to delivery. How do we do that? And when we sit down and have the conversation, slow is smooth, smooth is fast, have the conversation, invest the time to think about how does this work for the customer? What could go wrong? What could go right? What do we need to say? What do they need to know? It'll take you a little bit longer. But when you implement and it's done and it's successful. It's kind of like...
And suitable yes. to your business, because a lot of the time we implement, like we say, we tick those boxes, we put the stuff in because it's trending, so we have to do it. We're just ticking the box, but it's actually not working for you, your business, or your customers.
Exactly. And I think, so the principle, the engineering principle of measure twice, cut once is sort of what comes to play here. You don't want to quickly go do something and then afterwards have to go and undo all of that, because you wasted time and money. And by the time you get the thing in, your competitors are doing something better anyway. So rather take the time to understand, how does this work in your context? How does this benefit your customer? What end result do you want for them? And how can you implement this in the best way? That also, by the way, means that you have to train your team. You cannot get away from making a change and then not training your team on those changes and then communicating it. I mean, there's so many ways that this could go wrong if you are hasty, which is why hasty is not what we're looking for. We're looking for quick moving, responsiveness, not reactions. Dr. J, any last thoughts on adaptability and the importance?
I think if I can say this, one of the words I would like people to get acquainted with is the fourth industrial revolution, industry 4.0, all the same thing, or like Klaus Schwab refers to it as the Great Reset from the World Economic Forum. Because the fourth industrial revolution is the change in adaptability that we are talking about, because it literally represents the fundamental change in which we will live, which we will work, and which we will relate to another. So it's the era that we are now in, And it's characterized by all the technology which blurs the lines between physical, digital, and biological spheres. If you think about what I'm saying, you and I are sitting in different countries having the same conversation. There is a fusion of technologies coming together, and it blurs the lines between physical, because we're not there, digital, because we're doing this, and biological, we can't even touch each other right now. That is the thing I want people to just start thinking about, is the fourth industrial revolution, industry 4.0, or what they also refer to as the Great Reset. And that goes together with what it is the smart technology we are using right now. It's AI, it's IoT, or Internet of Things, which is advanced. It's advanced robotics, advanced technologies. These technologies will allow machines to communicate with each other and make decisions without human intervention. Think about your smartwatch that is communicating with the app on your phone that goes back to your medical aid or goes back to another app to tell you run like this, walk like this, do more exercise like that. That is all part of smart technologies. So something we can also look at is big data, and then also customization with things like 3D printing and so on and so forth. So yeah, Odette, that would be my last thing that I would add to everybody, and just to say is keep adapting, keep making those innovative changes to your business, because that is what's going to make you stand out above the crowd, keep your unique perspective, and be able to change into the future successfully, because that's what we've spoken about. Use the technology, get into the things, and make the changes so your company is successful in the future.
I love that. Absolutely. The future is human. It's not robots.
Absolutely.
It's not AI. It's human. And the humans will be supported by all of these really amazing things that are coming your way. So, Dr.
And you know, like I always say, I just want to say one more thing, is that the one thing I always say is when you're an entrepreneur and you're an innovator, my favorite quote that I always tell my team is, I live in the future. I only drink coffee here. And that's the mindset that you need to adapt.
Absolutely. I love that. So, Dr. J, talking about the future, I believe there's something really cool happening in September. Do you want to tell us about that?
I can't wait for September, besides for the springtime in South Africa that I'm really looking forward to. It is the Business with Altitude Success Summit that's coming up in September. And we really want to invite you to be there. It's going to be myself, Odette, and Christo. And we're going to have 3 days of a fully packed program in order to help you how to adapt, how to get through the disruptions that we are facing today. Speak about AI, speak about the industry 4.0, speak about the things of the future, new technologies, and how you can take that and leverage that for your company. So yeah, the future is human, Odette, and I would love to really invite everybody, come get your tickets, be part of the summit, so that you can also thrive and innovate and live in the future and drink coffee here.
Absolutely. So if you're wondering how to access the summit, we've got a link in the comments section. Click on the link, get your tickets. We have a webinar, free webinar coming up on the 19th of August, which you are welcome to join. It would be amazing to have you there. And we talk a little bit about, well, you'll have to be there to find out what we talk about. And then there's the summit. So we'd love to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all your comments. We had lots of fun talking about this very interesting topic that is undoubtedly top of mind and will be for the foreseeable future. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.